So is there a reason why we wait till specifically 8 o'clock before we start the show? When all of us are here?
And talking about nothing.
Yeah. The reason is dicks.
The reason is XV, which also translates to dicks.
That was my answer.
Is this any different from when we actually start the show?
There's a lot more pauses.
What?
See?
Find out a way! This is Superhero Time. With XV.
I like orange things.
Hey, Mickey.
Thankfully, Ren has made eggs.
Paladin.
Except February, which has 28.
Ken.
You see, I see what he did there. It's a joke about a penis.
JD Church.
Send in the melon.
And Fort Max.
Make him stop.
So it's Superhero Time, and JD is still missing. Do we care?
Par for the course.
I'd suggest check the freezers, but I don't think anyone has one big enough.
Maybe at, like, a restaurant? Nice walk-in freezer? I mean, it wouldn't be so nice after JD's died in it, but still. So what?
Get a chainsaw, carve things up, hose it out of it. It'll be fine.
Somehow I don't think the health department's going to like that.
Oh, what do they know?
So what's new this week?
Well, this week we got to meet the 11th Gaim Rider, Knuckle.
Yep. And ironically, the scans came out an hour after we finished recording last week.
Yes.
Well, it happens.
Yeah.
And we got the 13th Rider.
Wait, you just skipped one.
So did they.
Actually, it's Armored Rider 15.
Oh, right.
Who is all... Who comes with Decade Arms and Four's Cosmic Arms.
Which is, I think, just Four's Arms with the Barazoon Sword.
Probably.
That's
and
total.
He's played by that one guy from Zaborger.
Huh.
Sosuke?
The one who knocked up the robot.
Sosuke?
Pretty sure, yeah.
Cool.
No.
No.
It's not Sosuke, it's the one who played old Sosuke.
Oh.
Oh.
I'm not interested anymore.
But, yeah, and he also has wizard arms and...
Decade arms?
He said
Decade arms. He also has wizard and Gaim arms. Or, orange arms.
It'd be funnier if it was specifically Gaim arms.
But yeah, also a couple more older riders and Rocket States versus Sky Rider, which I kind of like.
I'm happy anytime Rocket States gets to come out.
And also Kabuto versus Stronger, which is fitting.
Kind of obvious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if Arms Change will do a 15 figure.
Probably not.
Maybe not. Or you know,
they did the Rider arms, and they're shell forming right now, so I guess, yeah, maybe not.
Oh, maybe they will, just so that way they can try and move them. Throw in the Decade Arms with him.
Yeah, people are going to run right out to buy the Decade Arms.
Decade's popular, they might.
What are the movie arms going for on Mandarake?
The Decade Arm should put a different haircut on the Rider's head every single time they transform using them.
They're only 2,000 yen right now.
That's not bad.
I'm again disappointed that Masahiro Inoue's hair seems to be normal now.
Could be a wig.
It had to have been a pain to change that hairstyle up every week.
Maybe that's why it's a wig now.
I do, but I do still love the way that Shutaro is now dressing like Sokichi, and actually making it work.
He's finally hard boiled.
Not many people can pull off a white suit.
No, but Rin Kiriyama can apparently.
I don't think there's anything he
looks
can't.
Good in it.
There's nothing he can't pull off. Remember that picture of him in the maid costume?
And also, apparently Tokuger and Kyoryuger will be in there for 5 seconds, maybe.
Yeah.
Featuring Super Sentai.
Two of them. Maybe not the whole team, just, you know, whatever.
Probably all the Kyoryugers. They're still under contract for this, right?
Yeah, probably. And the Tokugers, well, they just started. They don't have much of a choice.
So, Armored Rider Knuckle uses the Walnut Lock Seed and is apparently a member of Team Baron.
I'm imagining it's going to be the guy that gets the most, that one guy that gets the most screen time. Besides,
it's probably Zach.
Either Zach or Peiko are the even bets right now.
Probably.
So the ones that get the most screen time.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's
Team Aaron has had the walnut lock seat ever since episode 2 when their first real face off with Team Gaim.
They have, haven't they?
Yeah, but yes. Kaito's too good to use that one.
Yeah, isn't that like a B or C, just like Acorn?
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely looks a lot like Gridon's helmet. But it'd be interesting to have.
Well,
another.
Here's a look at the belt. It's the mass production belt.
Yeah.
Right. Which, the why when we discussed that episode.
Yeah.
But it'll be
so. Of course, it'd probably be Gridon.
Huh. Yeah. But it'd be interesting to have another. I wasn't thinking they would have another Sengoku rider after they introduced energy ones, but they are.
They still got to sell that toy too.
Yeah.
Not really.
Plus, you know, it's an interesting new thing for a secondary writer to have his own secondary writer.
Yeah.
Is that a tertiary writer?
Man, I didn't think about it like that. Holy shit.
Yeah, we always knew Gaim was crazy, but now we can see it's nuts.
Paladin.
I'm going to feed you to Don's cat.
I'm going to show you Don's porn collection.
Oh, don't.
I'm going to show you Don porn. XV wins.
I'm not sure that's a victory.
If everybody else loses, that means I win.
So on slightly less disturbing news, we also got to see Gaim's upgrade form this week. Jinba Lemon Arms.
Yep.
Lemon coating.
And it looks f***ing terrible.
I like it, but I guess we'll probably get more into that next week.
This is really the first design in Gaim I do not like.
Hmm.
I like it.
It's a little bit of a mess.
It's a little clunky, but I like
it. It isn't very lemony.
I like the aesthetic it's going for, myself. So.
It does need more lemon.
Yeah. Not enough zest.
Huh.
But we also got to see its arms change figure this week, along with official pictures of arms change Shin Zengetsu and Kurakage with the tulip hopper.
Hadn't we seen Shin Zengetsu and Kurakage before?
Kurakage we had only seen drawings of before. This week we saw the real figure, and it went up for pre-order.
Same
goes for Shin Zengetsu.
We had not seen the tulip hopper.
Yes. And I don't think anyone would have missed not seeing the tulip hopper.
Yeah, that's hard to avoid. That's a thing.
So Shin Zengetsu should be out on the 8th, Gaim on the 16th, and Kurakage on the 22nd, all of this month.
Now, the first two lock vehicles don't actually look that bad, right?
No, the bikes.
So what happened with these?
Dandelion's kind of cool.
In
the show, I like it.
Tulip Hopper, I'd agree, yeah.
In the show, I like it. I don't see the how...
Because, on the Dandeliner, that's a speeder bike, pretty much.
It's a speeder bike because the show had to make it work somehow. The toy is still a box the figure sits on with no wheels.
Now, assuming Knuckle gets to arms change, I'm guessing he'll have a vehicle, too.
It's a ride vendor that hasn't been transformed.
That actually can go, though.
Only because the show makes it go. If the show had decided the ride vendor could fly around through the air as the vending machine, that would have gone too. I'm just saying, the Dandeliner and the Tulip Hopper look like crap as toys.
Yes. It doesn't
tulip
work
Tulip Hopper
that.
I won't argue with, but...
Huh. Shin Zengetsu on Amazon is $128 right now.
What? Yeah.
And the Kurakage pre-order is at $70.
That's less than I was guessing, to be honest. Kurakage is going to be hard as f*** to find.
Probably.
F***ing troop builders.
Maybe he'll be easier to find a year from now when they're trying to clearance out old stock.
Nope.
Or 2 years when it gets to Korea.
What stock?
Quiet you.
I wouldn't be surprised if a bunch of the Gaim toys end up getting second production runs.
Besides, you can't troop build that Kurakage figure, it still has a yellow belt.
And it comes with a vehicle, which is the f***ed up part.
Oh, don't act like they don't know what they're doing.
Oh, no, they know exactly what they're doing. Because the Kurokages will probably, just like with the Dandeliners, come, you know, with a whole army of them on those f***ing things.
They're like little Cobra Pogos.
Yeah, Yggdrasil is kind of taking on a whole Cobra vibe there, isn't they?
Why did they put the Cobra Pogos in the movies?
I don't remember.
They did not. They should have, is what I'm saying.
Oh. I didn't watch the second G.I. Joe movie, and I barely remember the first one.
You should watch the second one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The only thing it's missing is cartoon laser blasts.
Instead of the actual real bullets they were using all over the place?
Yes. Because otherwise it is an 80s cartoon in live-action form.
It totally is.
It's stupid, it doesn't make any sense, it's goofy, and mm-hmm. there's crazy shit happening
and they
nonstop.
They don't give a f***.
Yeah. It's unapologetic about being dumb. The first one tried to act like it was cool when really it was just stupid.
Yeah.
But they're trying to portray, we're just like Transformers, we're edgy and grim, and look how awesome this is. We got mech suits.
And we have
second one's like,
time.
No, it,
we have bullet time, because that wasn't old 10 years ago.
Yeah. Second one is all ninjas on zip lines and Firefly blowing everything every 3 seconds.
And we blow,
Cobra and, Commander's plan being completely ridiculous.
And almost working.
Yeah.
Actually, it did work for one city. But we're not going to deal with the ramifications of that.
Just like Transformers.
Yeah, except here it's kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
Because there it's like, what the f***?
So anyway.
Let's see, what else happened this week? Oh yes, the new website opened for the upcoming Garo project and revealed some of the new cast.
Okay, anything that means anything to anyone?
Apparently there's one returning character from the original Garo.
Who?
Is it Garo?
Gonza, the butler.
Oh, yes! Gonza is the best character.
Apparently.
Let's see. In the process, he's also aided by another Makai knight named Crow, a Makai priest named Jiru, and a magical girl named Mayuri.
A magical girl? Like a precure?
Not another...
I haven't ruled anything out yet. And the show begins in April.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Precure happiness demon.
Speaking of, I wonder how many times Rubix is going to drop Precure this season.
What?
I wonder how many times I'm going to care. I think it starts with zero.
What is he talking about?
Rubix was working with Asir on Smile, and this time's working with
Do-Re
Mi on... he dropped Smile six times last... He managed to drop Smile six times with the same group.
Blah, blah, well, pretty cure subbing.
Well, considering Smile...
So, the official biography lists Raiga as the strongest golden knight of them all, which I can't help but wonder is a f*** you to the one who shines in darkness.
Well, in fairness, that's in the future, evidently.
Sort of. Kind of.
That we know of.
Also, you don't want to advertise your show as having, this is the second strongest or one of the weakest Garos of all.
Pretty
That's
much.
Not terribly enticing.
This Garo is perfectly average.
In the new season, Garo is not remarkable at all.
Actually,
adequate.
Speaking of Precure, that's kind of how Heart gets started. This is the worst one ever.
It also says Raiga will have his father's strength and his mother's kindness, so maybe there'll be something interesting there.
So he won't be as much of a dick as Koga.
Well, then he's
that's
not going to be
theory
nearly
right now, but
then he's not going to be nearly as fun, is he?
But what if
Isn't
his father
kind of
wasn't very strong? And his mother wasn't very kind.
Okay, point. Maybe if he had his mother's strength and his father's kindness.
that would be a very short series, I think.
He's got the armor. He'd be fine.
He's got his father's dick and his mother's breasts.
Well.
That's a story for another day. The overall plot of Makai no Hana, though, is fighting off 9 demons that are known as Messiah's Tear.
Oh, shit. Messiah is the main villain of the first series.
So how many of them are going to be Enter?
Not enough.
As long as one's not Escape, I think we're fine.
Oh, different Messiah there.
Yeah, I admit, that's what I first thought of when I heard Messiah.
Yeah, that is the final boss of the first season.
The naked one?
That's the final boss of most Garo stuff, yes.
Yes. Well, not most of it now, after Makai Senki and...
Shut up, stereotypes.
Really, just Red Requiem in the first season.
Stereotypes.
Sure.
Let's see, in other news, I know you don't care, but we have to pad this out. Some details from the Kyoryuger 100 Years After special may have spoiled some of the final details of the series before the finale airs next week.
Oh my god, these names are so f***ing terrible.
Yes.
Spoil away.
Well, Daigo and Amy apparently hook up.
Because, shocking.
Because their descendants are Kyoryugers in 100 years.
Yeah, I have seen the last few episodes on streams, and that's not entirely shocking. Nor has much been.
Yes.
Entirely shocking.
And instead of Torin, the new mentor is Candelira.
Huh.
Candelabra?
The singing pink Deimos boss.
That seems like a step down.
I believe it is, yes. And apparently Kyoryu Green is still active at 116 years old.
I guess he's Master Roshi now. Which, I mean, points to them if they put him in there bald with a giant turtle shell strapped to his back.
That might be worth it. And Death Ryuger is now apparently Kyoryu Navy.
Yes.
He's a boat.
Kyoryuger has way too many...
colors?
Like, colors that are too close together, because you have gray and silver, and then you have blue and cyan, and now navy, and purple. Like, well, there's a lot of colors... Shut up. If there's a lot of colors in the rainbow, they could have spread that out a little bit more, I think.
They should taste the rainbow.
Why is there no Kyoryu orange?
Why is there never
because there
an
can't
orange?
Be orange rangers, ever.
There was only one. That's enough.
He doesn't actually exist.
Close enough.
No, it's not.
And also this week, unfortunately, Tokusatsu voice actor Ichiro Nagai passed away.
Oh no, not Ichiro Nagai.
He was the voice of Baseball Mask.
Wait, we covered that last week, I think.
Yeah.
He died twice.
Oh, boy.
He just had to come back for more.
This second time, he was a whole lot bigger.
He also died a lot faster.
Well, the suit was all used up. So, did everyone see the Super Mega Force promo of them actually using the legendary powers?
Oh, no. God. Oh, God, why? Why?
Because we still have to pad this out.
Okay, so...
Why?
You have the Dicks. Toy on the shelf. It shouts the names of the teams when you use it, just like in Gokaiger. This makes sense from a marketing perspective. So, of course, in the actual show, you're not going to do that at all, instead have them just babble incessantly the whole time like normal. Ah! Is anybody still thinking Super Mega Force might not be a piece of shit?
When were we thinking that would be
not
possible?
Really.
When were we thinking that would...
JD kept...
Well, JD, I mean...
JD also doesn't like Car Ranger.
I never thought Super Mega Force wasn't going to be shit, but I'm still kind of interested to see how they chop it down to make it work.
I don't think I have enough time to really even want to bother that.
I'm not going to watch it. I'm just going to read the summaries of it.
Yeah, I guess.
You'll just listen to Fort Max talk about it every week.
I'll, like, watch the first
episode. I guarantee that's more interesting.
At least, but, yeah, I'll let somebody else cover that. Because we have this show about pirate rangers that they're not actually going to acknowledge as pirates, even though they look... like nothing but pirates. Huh.
Right.
What are you talking about? There's nothing pirate-like about them at all.
Yes, we can't use pirates because pirates are too violent.
Even though you're using pirates.
I mean, talk about like they fly around in a Megazord made out of a pirate ship or something.
Or they have helmets that are shaped like pirate hats, or they have cutlasses and flintlocks and...
still one of them has a, Transformers 4.
One of them has a spear that's a f***ing
really. Transformers 4 will be over faster.
But it'll feel like longer.
Ah, the Super Mega Force will give me toys I want to buy.
It's about the same for me right now.
Yeah, but Mickey, think of all the money you're going to save this summer and fall not having to buy any Transformers.
That's true. That'll be nice.
Speaking of toys, we did see some more Super Megaforce stuff on display in Germany, including the American Q-Rex.
The what now?
Gojujin is now the Q-Rex.
Oh.
Because, you know.
Oh, that looks fine.
Referred to by both the booth worker and the name tag as the Dino Megazord.
Sounds like Bandai displaying. And apparently the Galleon Buster's in there somewhere.
It feels weird to have a toy fair in Nuremberg. It just seems disrespectful somehow. Did they actually demo this thing at any point in this video, or...?
No, it's just on display.
Oh, okay.
Look around if you want to see the Galleon Buster, but I wouldn't put that as a priority.
Wonder if the Galleon Buster is going to be as ridiculous and awful-looking as the Gokai gun.
I would suspect as much.
Yeah, I think I'm happy enough not having to buy anything from Super Megaforce.
Some of it doesn't look bad, but then you get this other, you know, Zord armor stuff. And, yeah, I'm happier not having that exist.
But no, I kind of like the hat, because it gives him a nice pirate beard. Which
it's
is kind of
pirate,
awesome.
Not a pirate beard, Mickey. It's you know.
Yeah.
A legendary beard.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
His beard is legend.
So you have to buy that to get in the canon.
Yes.
That's f***ing stupid.
Yes.
But you also get, you know, beard hat. It's a hat he can wear that gives him a beard. If you could combine that with a fish hat, if you could have a pirate fish hat beard hat.
How is it the show hasn't even started yet? I feel like I'm already over it.
Could you have been paying attention?
Unfortunately.
You know, it's like the build-up to Sentai every year. If you don't really pay attention to everything that's revealed as it comes out, It's not so bad once it actually starts.
Yeah, I've only been really, for Tokyo Jr, just paying attention to what anybody says on here. That's about it.
More attention than I'm paying to it.
I know there's other stuff out there, but like I don't even know the characters' names yet. I'll wait.
They have names?
Yes, red, blue, green.
No, they're not even called by colors. I know that much.
It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 this time.
Bio-man?
And it's spelled with a Q.
a very Bio-man.
And it's spelled with a Q.
How do you spell 5 with a Q?
That train's an awesome villain designs are about all I know.
Okay, look, I'm sick of the news, so we're just going to move on to Gaim already.
Yeah, fair enough.
Please.
Let's see, who was I going to have to do this week? Paladin's not suffering enough yet. Go for it.
Because I'm probably stuck with Garo.
Yeah, what the hell?
Oh, well, I figured you'd want to do, you know, the Garo episode.
That's fine.
And I figured Mickey wouldn't want to do Gaim, like, 3 weeks in a row, so.
We're still on 15,
watch Garo,
right?
So.
What?
Yeah, I think we're on 15.
Yep.
15. 16 came out today, right?
15. After
16 came out yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, so we're on.
No, it came out today when I downloaded it.
I'm thankful for the buffer, but I'm just being thrown off by the numbers for a reason.
Yeah,
stupid reason.
Kota got taken in by the Kurokages, and there we are.
Okay. Kota and Kaito are being paraded through Yggdrasil by the Kurokages.
Yay, perp walk!
Well, Michi still has to hide from Yggdrasil's surprisingly incompetent security staff.
Is it really that surprising? Their elite troops are Kurokages.
Yeah.
The only way it could be worse is if their elite troops were Gridons.
Or stormtroopers.
Kurokages.
Or wizards.
If it was Beast. Wizard, if it was Wizard, it would just be boring. Really, really boring security.
In other words, you're ranking Kurikage's above Wizard.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Damn. Damn.
Well, Kurikage's are interesting.
Damn.
Only when he dies.
It's bad when you say Hase is more interesting than the main writer of the entire last year. That is sad.
It's sad when that's the truth.
It is so very sad and true.
Man.
So then the two guests get to sit down and meet Professor Ryuma Waring.
I can't believe they actually went through with that.
Yes.
I can see why, because in the line where he gives his full name, he's also talking about the driver, so it's kind of like almost...
And it's a ridiculously goofy name in Japanese, too, so...
Yeah, it really is, because who's going to have the last name of f***ing Sengoku?
No, here's the thing, it's that, the way that they have Sengoku rendered isn't even a name.
I know.
I don't know where it came from, but I saw someone else re-render his name as Professor Warren Statesman.
Yes!
Yes.
I think I know the person who did that. He might be involved with Wingus. That should explain things.
Wingus's puns are funny, unlike Paladin's.
See, yeah. That's how you know Paladin didn't come up with this one.
I guess after Tokyuger starts, we need to try to entice Wingus back on to have a pun off with Paladin. Mind you, all the rest of us will not be here that week, but the two of them can just...
Oh, yes, they can just go at it.
What, you're not all aboard for that?
Maybe we can make JD sit here and suffer through it, because then he can record it and...
See, that would be his punishment for
yeah.
the last...
punishment.
Okay, I'll give you that one.
Yeah.
That one I will give you.
Yeah.
So anyway, Professor Waring...
When he mentions he invented the drivers, both Kota and Kaito realize, hey, you're the reason it says all that weird shit?
He's like, yeah. He's quite proud of it, actually. Which I like that there's actually an explanation for why a driver said stupid shit, and it's just because Ryoma's crazy.
Ryoma's crazy and has a really loose grasp of English.
Loose grasp of a lot
of
things.
It's
well,
fun.
He's Japanese.
I think he has a loose grasp of a lot of things. Like, you know, morality...
Reality.
Yes, morality, reality.
His dick. What?
No, I think somebody...
Excuse me?
What? Go on.
So, as the professor tries to give his spiel about why he's doing all this, Kaito tries to pull off his signature card trick and attack him when he gets his ass handed to him by Marika.
Or Minato, I believe is her name. Actually, Kaito and Kota get their asses kicked twice by her. Once when Kota just tries to go at Ryoma, and the other when Kaito tries to pull a gambit.
Right. He throws the cards at him, trying to break him like he did the TV set, but she spots it and knocks it out of the air with her pen.
Damn. I think it might be lipstick, actually.
No, it's a pen, because she takes it out of his click and get after Kaito pulls out his cards.
Right.
You know, it's a shame. Kaito was, so badass in the first couple episodes, and everybody that showed up since basically has outperformed him.
He just keeps falling in the rankings.
Yeah.
This is why the secondary writer needs a secondary writer. He kind of needs the help. I don't mean that as any slight to him, because I love the character, but damn. It's just like, that is his lot in life, just to get his ass kicked.
That's a secondary writer.
Well, the thing about it, though, is that, like, he never takes it badly. He just kind of takes it in stride. He never acts like somebody who gets his ass kicked all the time.
That's because he recognizes their strengths.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess that's the thing, actually.
And, plus, the show hasn't once forgotten that he exists.
Yeah, it's true.
It is a definite plus.
Actually, the show's pretty good. I mean, Pierre kind of drifts in and out. Though he's coming back next week. But
established as having a second job.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, even when Pierre's not in the episode, they will mention, where's Poochie?
Except this time people want to see him.
Yeah. But he's kind of like he does get a name drop even in episodes when he's not in there. So
yeah, unlike Drake.
I also like how Kaito removes his cards from his sleeve, but his sleeve is rolled halfway up his arm, so it just like jumps out of his wrist.
His arm
he plays with a full deck.
His arm's just full of cards.
That's going to be his half-series upgrade. He's just going to be...
Baron complete form.
Yes!
Kaito is basically Kamen Rider Seto Kaiba.
Basically, yeah. Except without the money.
No, he,
no, he does have that expensive-looking car.
Have you seen where he lives?
Yeah, but I think that might be all he has. That is a sweet jacket.
That is a nice jacket.
It is.
Where the hell was I in this episode?
Then Sid and
Taito got his ass handed to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sid and Takatora, who I just realized, it's 15 episodes in, no one's actually called him Zangetsu, so I'm not sure where they even got that name.
I think it's just for marketing, actually. Actually, I believe so far all of the Energy Riders' names are just for marketing.
Actually, I think...
He's referred to Sid by name in the opening credits. Or opening preview.
Well, and I think they've referenced Zangetsu in the narration also, but...
Yeah, but not...
I think...
Character.
Actually, didn't Segura bring up the names and go ahead just dub it Zangetsu in the coverage of the...
I don't know. Zangetsu hasn't appeared publicly.
Yeah, nobody knows about Zangetsu. Group.
Except for, you know, the writers.
Except for the people who've gotten their asses kicked, yes.
Yeah.
Basically, the people he's beaten into the f***ing ground is the only people that know about
him. And because
him.
He's beat them into the f***ing ground, he decides they don't need them anymore. Since they have the mass-produced drivers.
Of course, Sagara has some words to chime in as well.
Yes. Because Sagara realizes that they won't give it up that easy.
Unlike your mother.
But yeah, I like Professor Boring's new, in-development designs as
yes,
well.
Yes, he shows them for the drawings for the toys you can buy in the fourth quarter.
Basic.
Isn't that object if the final belt design ended up being something like those?
They had those messengers over from the Plex office.
Like, hey, we need something for this episode.
Or they could have been sketches of possibilities for... they could have been based on pre-production designs for what became the drivers.
Yeah, he's offering them more power.
Mm-hmm.
Except they have to being the guinea pigs, which Kota at least hates.
But the thing is, he says, I can give you this, and you can do whatever you want with it. Which does raise the questions of what the hell Ryoma is getting at, too. Because he doesn't seem that concerned about them f***ing up Yggdrasil's plans.
I don't think he is. I think all he wants to do is build more toys.
Yeah.
And see how they work.
Uh-huh. He is Bandai.
That explains a lot, actually.
In a frightening degree. And as they're hauled off to their cells, the episode's plot comes to a grinding, uninteresting halt when Mai shows up.
Oh.
Along with all of the various dejected members of the various beat writers, including one of two of which is probably Knuckle.
Right. She wants them to give up the invest game because the citizens are blaming them for everything that's gone wrong. But, you know, the truth is the citizens are right. The invest game is what's responsible.
Yeah. Nobody seems to give a shit, though.
Now what?
They've met Mai before.
Oh, and also back to Marika. She is definitely enjoying handing Kaito his ass.
Oh, yeah. But one thing that one of the Baron members points out is that, like, if everybody quits now, Gaim will just win.
Right. So he's like, up in the charts, after all.
So he's like, you know, that's kind of self-serving if you want to think about it. Even though, in theory, she's not doing it because of that, it doesn't look good.
No, I mean, the reasoning does track.
If the top contender is saying, you should all quit.
Mm-hmm. Isn't this basically what Baron was trying to tell them in the second episode when they wanted them to forfeit the pass? Mm-hmm. They're already at the bottom, so you might as well just give up now.
I like how they're still concerned about the game and the dancing.
I mean, points for that not just, you know, disappearing as a concept now that the story's underway.
Now that the city's under attack by monsters, they still care about their dance routines.
Well, Pi does.
These guys are great.
I don't think that is very long-lived.
Well, it's not the dance routines itself. It's clearly the rankings they care about.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
they'll play them off as time goes on.
Besides, the dancing and the game are going to disappear, I'm sure, but I don't think it's going to be just a matter of they're not talked about anymore. It's going to be a plot point that this is over with now because, you know, X, Y, and Z.
I keep hoping that if that actually happens, they will change the opening to some extent, but I doubt they will.
Well, they might redo it some, you know, around the halfway point when the upgrades roll out.
Like, that would be nice because there's so much of that in the opening.
Yeah.
But it's becoming less and, so much less and less important.
But
and
I mean,
seems to be paying so much attention to this stuff that I would like to see them just, if that goes completely away, to just remove it.
You know, if you think about previous openings for Rider series, a lot of the, what I'll call unimportant stuff, ends up getting overwritten for new
upgrades.
Toys, upgrades, yeah.
Well,
so I mean,
also the previous Rider series, the status quo does not change as much as Gaim's is frequently doing.
No, but yeah. I'm just
it's kind of hard to follow what the next step might be.
Yeah.
I'm just saying there's precedent for, okay, we're going to replace this element of the opening with this new thing, and, you know, it'd be easy to take out the dance sequences
mm-hmm.
for more focus on toy stuff that's going on.
Gaim's ultimate form or whatever.
Yeah.
I guess we just have to wait and see right now.
Yeah, but meanwhile, in the best prison cell ever.
Yeah, Coach is chilling in his surprisingly luxurious prison cell.
Like, damn.
A couch, a mini fridge, and I'm guessing a private bathroom, too.
Yeah, there's a door. I'm expecting the crappers in there.
Yeah.
Intro it's not quote. A prison, it's just a nursing home.
Well, I imagine this is probably a green room somewhere in Toei, and they just renovated it.
Yeah,
no,
but
this is probably somebody's actual house in Japan. They're very rich.
But the security door is actual. It was the original installation. You can't leave unless somebody lets you out of the house.
Yeah.
Or the green
spent
room.
Spent money on the extra suit, so they can't build any sets.
Yeah, but Kota has a visitor.
It's DJ Sagara.
Wait,
and
he's a real person.
Yeah. This is the first time we haven't seen him from his webcam or a hologram.
He does not live in the Matrix, at least at the moment.
I'm kind of disappointed by that, but hey, they're keeping us guessing.
Yeah, I mean, I understand probably, you know, effects budget, but it'd be kind of interesting more if he had just appeared in the cell as the hologram.
Yes! Well, that would make some parts of this kind of hard.
Yeah.
Considering he has...
I'll grant...
Kota has a coffee maker, too.
I'll grant you that much, but it would have been neat to have the hologram just, you know, cruise down the hall and walk through the wall to come in the cell and talk to him.
That would have been awesome.
You know, the difficult stuff could have been, like, in the fridge or something, and, you know, Kota just never looked in there.
I like how Kota is so dumbstruck that Sagara just leaves the door open, and he does not just bolt.
Kota doesn't take a lot of initiative, does he?
Well,
he demonstrates that by telling DJ Sagara that he doesn't actually want the power that Yggdrasil's giving him.
Just has to use it.
And it's a very neat parallel to episode 3.
Where he wanted the power to use for his own personal gain.
But then he found out he sucked at it.
No, I'm talking about Michi's.
Which part?
When Michi is talking with Sid to get his belt,
yeah.
It's pretty much the exact same shot-for-shot thing with Sagara.
It is. Okay, yeah. Forgot about that.
Like, even the dialogue is the same.
Yeah, it's just... It's very interesting how all four of the Yggdrasil players are all pursuing independent project lines here.
Yeah.
Nobody
and
is...
them no secret and in play... apart from each other.
So far, it's
just like Bandai.
Almost all of them. We don't know if Minato has any designs beyond serving Ryoba.
Right.
But the way things are going, she probably does.
No, but,
well,
you know...
your sadism.
Yes, there is that.
Oh, I hope I can clean that up for an intro quote. No, but... You know, Takatora, Sid, Ryoma, and DJ Sagara are all... They all have their own agendas they're pursuing, and none of them line up with each other, really, besides get people to use the belts for Purpose X.
least that we
And I'm guessing
see.
There's more people at Yggdrasil higher up on the food chain than them, so there's probably a lot more in play that we don't know about yet.
I mean, as it is, they don't line up that we can see. They might line up more than we or even they might think of.
Yeah, but the way they're interacting with each other when they interact, it really seems like...
None of them trust each other.
Yeah, none of them are really playing ball together. They're just kind of stuck having to deal with each other.
Pretty much. Whereas the Sengoku riders are starting to actually...
It's like a chess game where you can't see the board.
At least some of the Sengoku riders, it's like, we'll get to that next week.
It's like in RoboCop, where you got some people working on Ed-209 and some people working on the RoboCop project. But really, it's the old man.
And then there's some people who thought the remake was a good idea and should die in a f***ing fire.
I don't know. With the commercials I've seen lately, it doesn't look that bad anymore.
Nah, doesn't look that bad. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Well, you will. I'm not going to go see it.
Yeah, I probably will.
But you'll see on the internet how it was received.
You know, if anything, that'll wait for, you know, Redbox or free premium channels in a year and a half.
Yeah. But,
So, DJ Sagara decides he's going to give Coda a farewell gift. A lemon energy lock seed and a faceplate.
Well, not quite a faceplate. Sort of.
A doohickey.
A
dongle. A fruit dongle.
Yes, a fruit dongle.
Dongle arms?
And tells
him pretty much, this should keep my ratings up for a while.
And he also gives him a...
Yeah, subtle toy.
He gives him a key card, then he locks the door behind him.
And once again, he says the phrase, we still don't know who Helheim is going to choose. So I really wonder what's going to happen in that forest.
Toys.
Well, duh.
Bears.
Well,
shitting.
Get on about that next week.
Yes.
Trees falling over while nobody's around to hear it.
Well, Invis are. If a tree falls in the forest and only Invis hear it, does it make a sound?
Can Invis hear?
They don't look like they have ears.
Some might.
Didn't the bat spider one have ears?
Well, yes.
Do they have a nose? How do they smell?
But anyway,
pretty bad.
Solid grape arrives.
Yes, Michi has snuck his way into the jail cell and locates Coda, even though he had no idea he was there.
Yeah, well, there's probably three jail cells in the whole place.
He knew Coda was in the building. So
yes. Wondering how many tries it took him to get down to this cell, though.
Well, it's only a 22-minute show, so come on.
The cell is like 20 feet from the lobby.
Probably.
It's like the security cell they have at Walmart that's right next to the entrance. Where they throw shoplifters until the cops get there.
That's not a security cell, that's the cash office.
The one I saw was more like a closet, actually.
Yeah, that's the cash office.
Oh.
That sounds like a cash office, actually, yeah.
So you take the thief and you put them in the room with all the money.
Yeah, but it has a locking door, I mean.
Which is also kind of what Yggdrasil's doing here. Because after Michi frees Kota, they find Kaito, and he decides they should go back and get their belts.
Belts and seeds and all that fun stuff.
So they pick up everything they lost.
Because if you're captured by the enemy, you go get your gear before you leave. It's just basic role-playing.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, Kaito also picks up one of the master production drivers that Professor Waring left behind.
You know, somehow I think I missed that the first time I saw this episode, but now that I see Knuckle, I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, I mean, he talks about it specifically when he's picking up his own belt. He's like, I'll take one of these, too.
There was just so much else.
Anyone can use the new models.
There's just so much else going on, I didn't pay attention to it, I think. Because you also have this moment where Kota's like, oh, hey, it's Yuya!
By sheer coincidence, the footage that he was reviewing is on Professor Waring's monitor.
I wonder how long we're going to play this game.
Apparently not long enough for Michi, because he immediately takes over and sets off the f***ing security alarm.
Whoops.
He could sneak around every f***ing checkpoint, but he punches 3 wrong keys on the board and suddenly there's alarms
Look,
everywhere.
It was probably Control-Alt-Delete, because you know what would happen if he saw Yuya turn into that Invis?
Yeah, despair.
And they'd have to roll him out, then.
Yeah, I don't think Kaito's going to do that.
Yggdrasil was fair, and then Wizard would show up, and nobody wants that to happen.
And I think Yggdrasil just really doesn't want anybody to change the channel on the TVs.
Yeah. But hey, somebody finally pays attention to the security cameras, and it happens to be Takatora.
And it happens to be Michi on the security camera. And that is the definition of an oh shit face.
Now, the best part here, though, is when they're running down the hallway, and Kurokage show up on one end, and it's three of them. Kurokage show up on the other end, and it's three of them. They charge, and it cuts to the middle of the hallway, and it's you only see three of them charging.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm, it's not a criticism, because I can understand it, but it is funny as hell.
Yeah. Because, like, even Power
they
Rangers...
They are very effective on the suit recycling.
They even, are!
Even Power Rangers had more stunt suits than that in the first season.
It is, like, they're so...
Well, granted, I mean, the putties were...
I know, they're a lot simpler suits. I'm just saying, you know...
It's not a knock on the show, but it's hilarious. And I like pointing it out whenever it happens.
You know, I think Power Rangers actually had more stunt suits than stunt people to fill them.
Probably. But so, I do like seeing Kaito and Kota just kind of beat the shit out of Riders without transforming.
Yeah. Well, they are Kurokage.
They are Kurokage, yes.
So the Riders split up, and Kota reaches the basement with the stable crack, and Sid is there, of course, asking, would you kindly go back to your cell?
He's like, no, you. And we get to see that if you don't pull the lever on the sword, that fruit will just kind of hang over your head for a while.
Yeah, I mean, the hole zips back up even
if you wait long enough. There.
Yes.
But this is what I was talking about, where, like, out of all of the writers so far, you can really only be sure of, like, the alignment of two of them, I think, and that is pretty much Sid and Kota. Kota is the hero, and Sid is definitely a f***ing villain, I think, at this point.
Yes, even though he's a villain who thinks he's the hero, which is far more dangerous.
I don't even know if he thinks he's the hero, or if he just likes throwing that out there. He's just doing that to piss Kota off. He's a bastard. And so it is nice to see... They have this nice setup of a showdown between... really the first hero and villain in the series.
Right.
Cherry versus Orange.
And then we get to see...
I'm so conflicted!
Sigurd's henchmen is actually very impressive. I had no idea they'd actually make twin cherries work as armor like that.
But where did his hat go?
Shh! the best part of this entire fight is that Sigurd, like, frequently just reaches up to his helmet like he's adjusting his hat still.
Yes. So even he wonders where it went.
I don't think he notices. I legitimately don't think he notices.
And I still want a hat that's in scale with his arms change release. Yeah. Well, above that, I'd just settle for his arms change release.
Yeah, ask Gigabeetle. He can probably find hats for you.
Did he find the trash can yet?
Just use a Monopoly hat.
That's the wrong kind of hat.
It's not round enough.
You just get a file.
Are Monopoly pieces still made of metal?
Elf, I know. Who plays Monopoly?
Yeah, Sigurd beats the shit out of Gaim then.
And apparently fires a Patriot arrow because it circles back around the forest trees and hits him straight on.
Yeah, but I do also like his mockery of him as like how he wants to protect the city, but he doesn't even have the guts to take care of Hase. And how he hurt people because Gaim would not do anything about it. Which, you know, as much of a bastard and obvious villain that Sid is, he's not
entirely
wrong. He actually has a good point here.
He's not wrong.
And how is goading Kota into being more violent going to work out for Sid?
Probably not well, but...
Sid's not thinking that far ahead about it. It's just like, he's having fun taunting him and, you know...
I think Sid, in this moment, is thinking, well, I'm about to kill this motherfucker. I'm going to have fun with it.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, though, the whole time Sid is outclassing Kota one-on-one for power, there's not really a threat, even if Kota gets really mad and even switches over to Strawberry, probably.
Strawberry.
What about Watermelon?
It's probably not recharged yet.
Right. Yeah, because you got to remember, these last, like, four episodes have been all right on top of each other.
Yeah, like
it's
2 hours.
It's not like the last time where there was at least, obviously, a few days in between it.
You know, I assume the Watermelon lock seed is drained unless somebody says it's not.
Yeah.
Yes. So Kaito manages to come back and save Gaim's ass so they can ride off on their motorcycles and hit 88 miles per hour to get out of the forest.
Well, not quite yet, but they...
Well, that's the plan, anyway.
They get away, and they do knock Sid on his ass. Though it is interesting, Sid starts to use his finisher, but Marika kind of interrupts that.
Right, because according to Marika, they still have orders to let them stay... The armored riders stay and keep their own agenda for the time being instead
from
of going
Professor
straight to the finals.
Probably.
Yep.
Because he's not done with that.
And here's the interesting thing. Marika, suit actor, is, well, Marika.
Oh, that kind of explains some stuff in the, with that, how well she was kicking everybody's ass.
She does
and yes,
overall.
This is the first time that they've had the same person play a writer in and out of suit since episode 8 of the original series.
It was Fujioka.
Yeah.
And we saw how well that turned out for him.
Well, they probably won't let her get on a motorcycle.
Oh, yes. But that's interesting. I did not realize that.
So the only one still left in Yggdrasil is Michi. And Takator is following his every move on the security camera. And he is confronted in the basement by speeder bikes.
Whoops.
Three of them, as it happens.
Time for him to actually transform for the first time in, like, 5 episodes.
Right on camera.
Whoops!
Yeah, well.
So that cat's out of the bag.
And how? And that's the end of the episode.
Hmm.
And next time...
Jinba Lemon!
And that other team, but yeah, Lemon Arms.
All right, then.
So this was pretty good this week.
No shit.
Yeah, Gaim doesn't disappoint.
No, it still doesn't.
I'm getting worried that it can't possibly continue this way.
No, right? It's almost, I mean, I'm not concerned now when I watch episodes, but it's like, I'm almost like, this got to be at least like one episode that's going to be a complete and total.
Well, the toy sales are through the roof, so they're not going to take Urobuchi away from writing. He'll get to finish it the way he wants, I think.
At this point, probably so.
So would it actually be possible for Gaim to screw up at all?
Oh, it's always possible.
Yeah, of course it's possible.
What would it take at this point to put any of us off the series?
Wizard.
Yeah.
Well, if they just started...
They took that out of the intro, finally.
If they just started dragging their feet on the plot, or if they just completely changed the mood of it, that would...
Basically, if they pulled an O's, where if they went back on everything they were setting up and did something else entirely.
Yeah that. Like, Agent's...
Like, if all of a sudden, like, you know... Like
Agent's entire character.
Or something, all the writers teamed up to form a Sentai to fight a giant oogity-boogity monster...
Oogity boogity.
Sid and Kota become best friends.
Yeah, shit like that. That ruined the show, yes.
Yeah. And I think by the end of the show, we might have a couple of them that are kind of a team. Probably, you know, Kota and Kaito, more than likely. But I don't think it's going to be the majority of them the way things are going.
So, who do we think is going to be the second rider to die? Any guesses?
Bravo. In all honesty.
It pains me to say it, but I think there might be some truth to that theory.
And probably Marika.
Bravo, or
as awesome as he is not really super relevant to the plot.
No.
No.
I mean, he's a strong personality.
If anything,
that's a side character.
He's probably going to disappear like Drake did.
He might drift in and out more than likely. Minato might be off if they don't develop her character
at all.
Considerably, yeah, because there's no promise which way that's going to go, since she is kind of like an after the fact writer. She wasn't a pre-established character like the rest of them.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking, because they have made a point to make the other three energy writers be existing characters in the series. She's the only one that did not appear before this.
Although next week's episode 17 will be focusing on her more. So we'll see.
Hmm.
Right.
Either we'll get more focus on her or somebody's going to murk her.
I just hope we get more arms change figures.
Yes.
Probably. They're selling so well.
But Wait, we only know who three of the energy writers are, right?
Well, no, the only one we didn't know was Sigurd, and that got revealed for us.
We know who Duke is. They just the show, and even the show, you can tell who Duke is because you can see him standing on the ledge when they transform. They just haven't explicitly said it.
We all know, but...
I said it last week, in fact.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
It would require one of us to listen to you.
Exactly. So I was safe.
I'm more likely to listen to...
Much.
Really, there's like two options that Duke could be if it's a pre-established character. So, you know, you got a 50-50 shot.
What's the other one?
Saga or Ryoma?
It's Yuya.
Oh, sure, yeah, of course. It's not like we didn't see him die horribly in the fire.
That was almost one of the rumors at one point.
He got better.
I think everybody was rumored at one point. People were even saying Akira for Marika at one point. And, well, saw how that worked out.
Who?
With his sister.
Oh.
Akira.
Let's just take a moment and be thankful that Mai's not getting a belt.
I mean, yeah. They have the mass production belt. It's possible.
I don't see that ending well.
Mai's actually one of the more level-headed people, probably one of the few level-headed people in the show.
Probably, actually.
Level-headed? She's f***ing insane. She changes her mind, like, every week just to be opposed to whatever Kota's doing.
That's because she's 16.
Half the time, Kota's being stupid.
And she's 16. They kind of do that.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah, I just wouldn't call her level-headed or stable, though. I mean,
no.
Teenager, though.
I said compared to the rest of the cast.
This is true. Kaito's not exactly what I would call sane.
Ichi's pretty stable. I mean, he's super.
We'll wait and see on that
to
one.
To a moral fault.
We'll wait and see on that one after next week, folks. I'm not sure how long that's going to stay a thing.
Okay, since we've all stopped.
Sister.
Huh?
Kota's sister. What happened to her?
I think.
You'll probably see next week.
She was in last week's episode, and she's in next week's episode.
If you watched the preview for 17, you might have a hint.
Yeah.
I don't like where this is going.
Hey, here's a thought. Maybe the next person to die isn't a rider.
Kota? Did you just spoil?
No, that's not a spoiler.
Maybe the next person to die is the bee again.
Not a spoiler unless it is a spoiler and I'm unaware.
Hmm?
I'm just going off the episode preview.
What?
Okay.
What?
Okay then, go on.
Look, you confused Fort Max.
Yes,
this is not the natural order of things.
Yeah, that's impressive.
My work here is done. Let's move on.
It hurt itself in its confusion.
We'll be right back.
Superhero time. Just watch the shows. It's faster.
Ragu introduces Chicken Tonight Simmer Sauces, and suddenly everybody's saying,
I feel like chicken tonight, chicken tonight.
Choose from six new sauces. Each one's made with real vegetables and herbs, so you can make dishes like country French chicken and chicken cacciatore. Just brown the chicken, simmer, and serve.
I feel like chicken tonight,
New Chicken Tonight Simmer Sauces from Ragu.
Chicken Tonight.
So this week for Power Playback, Ken finally got his wish.
Garo!
That one particular episode of Garo Mekai Senki. With the space salamanders.
Space salamanders?
That one episode of Garo?
Yeah. Oh, is that not what we watched?
No.
Oh, well, okay, just then go with whatever.
We might have to watch the space salamanders now.
I don't think there are space salamanders.
Then what did I watch?
I don't know, but I want some of it. Probably
anyway,
the same shit Popo grows.
What we have here is episode 3 of Garo Mekai Senki, which is the second season, focusing on the original, or at least the original as far as the shows go, Garo.
The second season that took place 6 years after the first.
Yes, literally. When we by a point that anybody who had was watching Garo was probably thinking, man, we're never going to get anything else. Well, surprise on that.
Chronologically, how long after the first?
About the same, actually. It came a year after the Red Requiem movie, which, again, we got, and or I hadn't watched it yet, but people got and were thinking, well, this probably is all we're going to get, and now it's an annual franchise.
I'm down semi-annual. With that.
Yeah. So,
it's still an improvement.
In this series, it basically picks up kind of more of a day-to-day thing. Monster of the Weeks, Coco dealing with that. In the first episode, it is notable because it does come up in the towards the end of this one. Coco ran into a villain who marked him with something that was basically a ticking time bomb that is going to supposedly kill him if he does not figure out what the heck is going on with it. And that's pretty much the only significant thing you need to know about this series so far, besides the fact that Koga, as Batman, got his Robin and Leo.
Yeah, he already had Alfred.
Which version of Robin was he, anyway?
Right, anyway.
Does this Leo crush a bunch of crushed nuts all the time, too?
No, he does not. Regardless, we start episode 3 with him and Leo riding along. And Leo's wondering why he doesn't just, you know, we have, like, shortcuts. You can just get there quickly. And Koga's just like, I want to drive.
When you have a car that expensive.
When you're as rich as Koga is.
Apparently.
Which I'm guessing is pretty f***ing rich.
He seems to be pretty loaded, though we have no idea. It's got to be, like, really old money, because he doesn't do anything except...
That's got to be an import model car, too, so that's another big chunk
of
money.
Yeah, he's driving on the correct...
yeah, that's left-hand drive.
Yeah, he's on the right side of the car. Left side of the car, but the right side of it.
The correct side of the car.
Correct side of the car, thank you. But they're off to deliver a package, a Goryu, which is a little mechanical beast that was seen in the Red Requiem movie that we covered a couple years ago. That Leo has worked on to the Eastern Sector. Meanwhile, Koga's living companion, Kaoru.
I don't think she lives there anymore.
Didn't she like kind of move back in this season? I can't remember.
It seems a little ambiguous.
Doesn't seem to go away ever. So
no, I think she just visits a lot now. But that's kind
she
of
doesn't exactly seem reassured when the butler tells her, "Oh, it's okay. His passenger is another man."
Like, oh, that's so.
This is kind of a thing in the first few episodes of the season. Also, they keep missing each other.
Yeah, it's like I don't think.
I think it's like episode 5 or 6 before they actually meet face to face again.
Look, where is Koga? Oh, he's off doing something.
Does Gonza actually try to help them, or is he just trolling them both?
I can never quite tell with Gonza, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But yes. Anyway, on the way, Koga and Leo just kind of run into a f***ing horror. it's just like jumping.
And I love this too. It's like I can't tell exactly where it is. Jumps on the hood.
Oh, there we go. Never mind. That's convenient.
Worst detection system ever.
Well, they hadn't invented the horoscope yet.
The thing about Leo is, I like him a lot, but he's not terribly good at his job.
Well, there's a reason for that.
Yes, but those are spoilers.
For a 2-year-old series, right?
Right. Regardless, I will edge on err on the side of caution there. So Leo tries to handle the horror himself with his Goryu, who he has named Colt. And it actually serves to be a lot more powerful than they're typically supposed to be. Although they trashed the car in the meantime. Whoops.
Oh. That's going to be expensive to get fixed if he has to have parts, you know, imported.
Koga probably just doesn't f***ing care either, really. He doesn't care about a lot of things. What he does care...
He cares, that impression.
He cares enough to go take it for a drive in the first place.
Yes. But he doesn't care enough to not just leave it there. That said, what he does care about is the fact that Goryu is showing a lot more power than it really should, And he's like, you know that what we use is the power of the horrors themselves, and if you're kind of like edge outside the rules of that, that's probably not going to end well. That is at least the implication of the conversation.
Can he not even see why that might be a bad idea?
Well, and he
even
just
the ring sees why that might be a bad idea.
Yeah, Zaruba. and Leo does bounce back with the fact that, you know, your armor is basically the same thing. He's like, it's different. They're like, no, it's not. And this is actually a theme in Mekai Senki, so bear that in mind. There is some tensions between the priests and the knights. But regardless, they go to sleep, and
Leo goes to sleep. I'm not sure Koga ever actually sleeps.
Yeah, he just sits there with his eyes closed. I kind of think, but you never actually see him sleep. You see him up in the daytime. You see him up at night. Mm. Point the Batman thing.
Yeah,
sleeping would cut in on his angsting time.
That's not so much angst as he broods. There's a difference.
Sleeping would dull his anger.
His anger must always be just right. But the Goryu has woken up and is not looking happy. Koga almost cuts it, but they chase after it. And then it assimilates a motorcycle.
And then it turns into Beelzemon.
Yes, it does. So Colt takes off and nearly runs over Kota. Not Kota. Koga! Sorry. Guy, I'm on the brain still. It doesn't help that they transform the same way, basically, too.
Well, at least you didn't call him Ryuga this time.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have any problem calling him Ryuga. It was just calling Ryuga Koga all the time. Regardless, Colt takes off, and that's a bad thing. So Koga does the next best idea and steals a motorcycle himself.
And sends Leo running off through the woods to catch up.
Yes. He has to go gather berries and sticks. This is literally what he does.
Yeah.
So anyway, Koga.
Sensing a theme here.
Well, what about Koga?
It is fitting because he is acting more like a Kamen Rider than most Kamen Riders do in most shows nowadays. And that is basically the entire episode now, as he goes chasing after Colt on the bike. And there is some stunt work and some wires, and he gets kicked into the road. And just chases after him for a while until Leo has gathered enough sticks and berries to make a circle and ask Koga to lure the not-quite horror to them. So he does, and it does... Well, nothing.
Well, it does something.
Does something, just that something is not very effective.
It slows it down long enough to make a new plan.
It does give them some very impressive motorcycle stunts.
Well, yeah, that's the whole thrust of the episode.
Yeah. These first, like... the first half of Mekai Senki is all a bunch of one-shots, basically. There's a little bit of plot here and there, but they're all one-shots, each kind of taking on their own theme. Some of them do skew more back towards the horror side of it, and others do go more towards the action side, and others just kind of do some weird shit.
All of them are following Koga either.
Yes, because Ray, who we see at the very end of the episode, gets episodes that are completely and totally focused upon him.
And Jabby gets an episode where Koga's basically just a cameo.
He shows up at the beginning and the end, and that's it.
Yeah.
Mekai Senki is very, very varied. One episode is not even necessarily a reflection on what the whole series is like. But regardless, they managed to make a new plan, which is we're going to make it into a horror.
How is that a better plan?
They know how to kill horrors.
They just don't know how to kill. Not quite.
That does not make it a better plan.
Yes, it does. They can kill that thing. They can't stop the motorcycle.
They don't know how to stop a kind of motorcycle Goryu, not quite horror hybrid. If it's a full-on, you kill everything demon, they can deal with that.
That's easy.
So that is exactly what they do. And there is, again, many, many more motorcycle stunts until finally Koga just
gives up and calls a horse.
Koga finally is like, you know, f*** this motorcycle stuff. I'm going to call my horse.
That's supposed to be a horse?
Yes.
Yes, Goten. Both, well, I see. Garo, Zero, and Dan all have horses. The reason Ryuga did not is because, well...
He never tamed him.
Yeah, well, see, I think the thing is, Ryuga had not earned Garo's full goldness until the very end of the series, much less all of his powers that come with obtaining Goten. Because there's more to it than just he rides a horse. It also does amplify his actual powers.
Yeah, Koga's dad, who was the previous Garo, had Goten. Then Koga had to win Goten himself, and Ryuga never got that chance.
He gets a 15-foot sword out of it, basically.
And basically whatever other power-up he needs at the time.
Yeah, basically. Goten is his handy Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah.
Regardless, so... Now, in the first Garo series, they didn't really toss the suits around very much at all. Such is not the case. Clearly, they got a new Garo suit.
They built a stunt suit.
They built a stunt suit.
Which they didn't have the first time around.
They did not have that. Because there is some actual stuff in here where in the first series, they would have just CGI'd
or
him getting tossed around. Or, you know, being lifted up by the horror or whatever, or tossed into a dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
This time, they just throw him off the f***ing bike.
Yeah, and you can see if you look close during those shots that it's not, like, a shiny suit. It's just flat gold.
It is flat gold.
But I think it's a better fight scene overall because of it.
Oh, yeah.
Of course it is, because we've seen the CGI.
The fight scene, once it becomes a full horror, is freaking awesome in this episode. And then finally, Leo is going to do a kamikaze thing, but they managed to take the horror out and drop that bike right on its nose. Obviously, they didn't need to use that anymore.
Yeah, well.
But what's funny is you can see the wires all sort of hanging off of it where they dropped it.
It just goes to show that, just like people, if a motorcycle gets taken over by a horror, it's over.
Yeah.
That's not coming back either.
Nope. But the Goryu is fine.
Oh, well, that's great. And we'll never hear from it again.
No.
But hey, look, it's Ray.
Yeah, but there is one final thing where Koga's like, you know, I trusted you, so trust me. Don't go getting yourself killed.
Yeah, and who's this other guy?
Ray is the Silver Knight. Zero.
So he's the one with the spinoff?
Yep.
Yes.
He is basically Koga's secondary rider. He is exactly Koga's secondary rider.
He's kind of an asshole in the first series, but he mellowed out some.
Ray
sounds like a secondary rider.
Yeah, but yeah. Ray from where his character is now to where his character starts has probably some of the most extensive character development I have seen in a tokusatsu. Like, it even goes beyond, like, say, Axel. Because Ray starts off as a murderous f***tard. And that is completely the case. Whereas by this point, he's kind of a total bro, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, he's mellowed out over the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. That homicidal rage has subsided a bit.
A little bit.
So is it a natural mellow out or a shitty writing mellow out?
No, it's...
It works.
Let's just say he realizes he had the wrong idea. by and large. Although he's not happy that he and Koga have matching tattoos now. Which is, of course, a plot point that goes across the entire season here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I was wondering why he was flashing Koga.
Yeah, that is what... Koga has the very same thing on his chest right now. Because the villain that appears at the end of the first episode, Sigma, ends up... Yes, we have a Zero and we have a Sigma, I know.
And as the series goes on, we'll find out that all the other Makai Knights have been marked
Yep.
But it also means we see more of Makai Knights than just, you know, the two of them.
Yeah, that also. Sort of.
Well, I mean, yeah. There's,
we
you know,
see them.
There's three, or, there's three or four that are, like, actual people, and, you know, then a whole lot of filler ones.
Yes. But yes, that is Makai Senki.
It's not bad.
Makai Senki is basically Garo Universe fan service, the series.
Yeah, also, of note, the episode preview here, this poker episode that follows it, is also really awesome. It has Kaiza in it, and it's written by Inoue. But it's probably one of the best things Inoue has ever written.
Even better than Agito?
I'm talking like as a single episode thing. Like, just as a single song that I've seen. I haven't seen through all of Agito. But it is a really solid episode.
Yeah, it was.
Let me rephrase that. It is the best thing, along with that Jetman episode, that Inoue has written since Agito.
That doesn't say much.
It does not.
The tomato episode or the ramen episode?
No, I think he means since the Jetman Agito episode of Gokaiger, right?
Gotcha. Yes.
Yes, yeah, that is something that has come after Agito.
Right.
Yes.
If Inoue is writing a single episode that is standalone of a series he is not overseeing, it might be actually kind of awesome.
Unless it's involved with Ryuki.
Unless that.
Yeah.
Was that a single episode or pair of episodes or the movie?
Oh, the movie.
Well, like I said, that's also after Agito, so that is in the line of, we don't want him touching stuff anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, in addition to various episodes having their own little themes and stuff, there's a lot of like kind of guest work in the first half of Makai Senki, as in the episode following that is written by Kobayashi and guest stars the guy who played Detective Gino in Kamen Rider Double, and something that's very, very disturbing, in fact.
Yeah.
Especially considering who it is.
Yeah.
And that he's normally a comedian.
Yeah.
He's very much not in that episode.
No. No, he's not.
But yes. Needless to say, I still love most all things Garo.
I really need to watch more Garo.
You should. I would just, really, if you enjoyed this episode, I would just go start in on the first series and just kind of wing it.
But the first series is still only... Oh, no, wait. Resubbed.
Roman Rider has DVD subs up for those
still
are available.
Subs?
Yeah, you can find them. So that's available, and basically all of Garo is translated well with a good quality video, and with if you want to watch the series that's going to be focusing on Koga and Kaoru's son, you probably want to... It might not be necessary to watch it, but it probably wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll try to minimize that as much as possible, considering how much time has passed.
But I imagine there will be some appreciation of where he comes from.
Yes, I would expect so.
I'm hoping over time we'll pick that up as well.
I'm going to be surprised if they don't, though I'm still waiting for Koga in Wonderland.
And Legs, the movie.
Yeah. I know they have it, but I don't know what happened with that.
Mm-hmm. Fort Max?
I don't know. I just encode stuff.
Well, it'll happen at some point. Obviously, we're not so desperate for it that we're resorting to the TV Nihon subs.
Yes.
Unless Ken has. He's being awfully silent.
No.
What should we do next week?
Mm-mm.
Car Ranger.
I have a plan.
Drinking?
It's February. So that means we should do Black Ranger History Month.
Oh, God.
We'll
spend the rest of the month doing Black Ranger focus episodes.
Well, do you have a suggestion?
First one I suggest would be the episode where Zach gets the Green Ranger armor on.
Oh, the one with the Oyster Monster.
Didn't we do that already once?
I don't think so.
That's G2 footage also, right?
Somebody should keep a list of this.
Eh.
Do you know how much work
that
would
be? Yeah, fair enough. That's why I said somebody, not me.
Right, but that implies me, and I'm not going to do it either.
So, let's see. What else could we do? How about that one episode of Space where Carlos gets blackmailed by a little girl?
No, because I just watched the Mega Ranger version of that not too long ago.
We've covered that episode before.
Yeah, not too long ago.
Gotta tell you, it wasn't that much better as a Mega Ranger episode.
No.
What other shows had black rangers that we could talk about?
All the ones that didn't have greens?
And some of the ones that did.
So, about 75% of RPM.
We could do the episode of Turbo where TJ blows up the Megazord.
But that's not... No, Mickey. No.
Fine.
We should do a Kaku Ranger episode focusing on Jiraiya.
Yeah, that would work.
Kaku Ranger is usually good.
Kaku Ranger is always good.
It's kind of like Bioman.
But with ninjas. That speak
less bio
English.
They have, less battle lesbians, though.
They have ninja particles.
They also have Bees Bees Snack Machine.
And Cat Drugs McBus.
There's got to be an episode of Gal Ranger with a Black Ranger focus, right?
What about an episode on Dylan?
Which one? There's a lot we could choose from RPM.
That's why I said about 75% of RPM.
Or better yet, an episode on Gunpei.
I can't argue with that, though. We did just do Go Onger.
We could do both, you know.
But we won't. Yeah, there's not a lot of series that actually have Black Rangers, is there? Green is a lot more common.
The thing is, you know, if they have a Black Ranger, there's going to be a Black Ranger focus episode at some point, so we just can't really remember any of them on top of our heads.
We could look it up somewhere.
The thing is, we already got next week, so we're good.
What are we doing next week?
The
Moisturizer.
Didn't we do that?
I don't think we did.
Does anyone want to look it up?
No.
Then let's do that next week.
Let me go search real quick.
If we did that episode, I didn't watch it. I can say that much.
It was probably before I joined.
Let me go do a search real quick. I don't always name the Power Playback episodes in the show notes, but...
This is going to be entertaining podcasting.
Well, it'll only take a minute. There can't be that many results...
As opposed to our usual show?
There can't be that many results involving the word oyster on the website.
You'd be surprised, you know?
Your search for oyster did not return any results.
Well, you were right.
Search for Mighty Morphin or MMPR.
That would...
Surely you would have mentioned, you know, that.
All right, fine. That's probably going to give me a lot more to search through.
Yeah, we haven't covered that many episodes of it, so...
Except for all of the G2 stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, but they never got that far.
Right, but they're still... But that doesn't mean that they're not going
it's
to turn up
to
search for
results.
MMPR.
Let's see. Not seeing anything so far. Maybe we didn't do it. Or maybe we did and nobody will care because nobody who listened to that was still listening.
Like anybody listens to the show in the first place.
Well, we were more popular than Fanboy Versus.
Yeah, whatever happened to that? Why do we stop becoming more popular than them?
Because they stopped being Fanboy Versus?
That's right.
You just wanted him to say that, didn't you?
Good times. Makes me wish JD was here. But such feelings pass quickly. Yeah, he won't listen. Yeah, okay, I'm just going to declare that we didn't do that before.
Okay.
So, I'm writing for next then?
Yeah, fine, whatever. So we'll do that. We'll do a Jiraiya episode of Kaku Ranger and then something to be determined for the 25th, I guess. Too bad Mickey didn't have this idea.
Time for a toss. Go Onger or RPM?
It doesn't have to be either of those series.
Well, they're the only series we seem to agree on, so that's what I'm thinking.
Could always do Ghost Ranger.
We haven't put a lot of thought into this yet, either.
Okay, what series had Black Rangers?
Jetman?
Yeah, we could do the end of Jetman.
I'm kind of looking for stuff that was in the Power Rangers range.
So, the Three Mighty Morphin Years, Alien Rangers, Wild Force.
Yeah, and then not again until...
Operation Overdrive?
Oh, hell no.
That's why I didn't suggest it before.
Yeah.
Even I have my limits.
Yeah, so we're a little bit stuck there. I guess we'll have to go for a Gunpei episode. We'll just have to figure that out later.
Yes.
So, anything else going on this week?
Tokyuger Porn now exists.
Okay.
Come on, ride that train. It's a choo-choo. Ride it.
Of the robot, too.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That's not even slightly surprising, though.
It's impressive that someone would be aroused by that design.
I kind of want to see this now.
Do you really? I can probably find it again.
Yes, let's have live
reactions. You forgot what folder you saved it in, didn't you?
Let's have live reactions to Tokyuger Giant Robot Porn on the podcast.
No, I mean Wagon, the robot helper.
Oh, I thought you meant Tokyo.
The Naomi.
Okay, that I could see more readily. I don't care about that so much. I just, you know, the Megazord porn. That's novel enough to be interesting. And he pastes the link anyway. It's not like I'm not going to click on it now.
She has udders.
Yeah.
Oh, and to the viewing audience, if anyone can find me a picture of breasts with dicks for nipples, send that to me. See that.
What?
It's too bad JD's not here. He could probably tell you exactly where to find that.
I want to see breasts with just giant cocks instead of nipples.
That can't be that hard to find.
I tried Google image searching. I didn't find anything. It's been a bunch of terrible anime porn.
Wow, you actually put that into Google?
Yeah.
You used to be so worried about what showed up in your search history.
At work?
No, when we're doing the podcast!
Well, that was just an excuse not to look for whatever it was you were trying to put in there.
Well, that's disappointing.
I thought you had some kind of standards there.
She's on this show. What standards
exactly.
Could you have?
Of course, at the same time, it was a lot funnier when JD was just like, okay, I'll do it.
Clearly.
Yeah, I think if JD doesn't come back next week, we'll just fire him. Because, I mean, enough's enough. He's obviously not really committed to the show anymore.
It's a pity you can't ruin Family Versus again for him.
He keeps saying he's going to bring it back once football season is over, and
season's over.
Yeah, so...
Start bugging him on Twitter.
Bug him to bring back the show so I can destroy it again. That'll be my next long-term project.
Not... Get him to bring the show back.
And,
destroy it a couple
and as a bonus, he'll get to spend more of Kilby's money.
Hey JD, you should really bring the show back now.
Yeah, see, I think that's really why Fanboy Versus hasn't been brought back sooner. Because, you know, comic books cost money, and he doesn't have any.
No, I thought the point was that he'd be using Kilby's money.
Kilby's not going to buy comic books for him.
If it's for the show, he might.
No, he won't. Especially since the show is less popular than this one. No, that whole typesetting thing was kind of entertaining, as was Fort Max doing like a 12-tweet string at John Green about how his Jutsu footage should be put together. Because I'm sure that's exactly what he wanted. Good job. Change it, Max. Did he ever actually respond to most of that, Fort Max?
He did. He said that he has most of the stuff encoded already, but if he does go back, that, yeah, he probably would do it at the film rate and try and get the so that it, all the frames were clear ones instead of the having three clear, then two blurry.
He should just send it all to you.
I wish. Seriously, I do.
Yeah, because you still have a VCR to play it on.
It's adorable.
Actually, ideally, what he probably
it's in his
do
minivan.
Is just burn it to DVD and then send the DVD to me.
Wouldn't he have to?
Which you could then convert to VHS, right?
And play in your minivan in the tape deck.
But yeah, considering it,
I don't have a way to connect the VCR to the computer.
You don't have a video in card, do you?
Nope.
What about an RF adapter? Could you screw that into the back of your computer? Like where the modem goes?
Maybe if you got a webcam and pointed it at the TV while you're playing the VHS. You know, be like 90% of the people on YouTube who record gameplay footage. Super Hero Time. 次回もお楽しみに!
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.